want to get into a situation where the Chinese are now going to, in effect, detain or kidnap an American executive?
China detains yet another Canadian in an ugly tit-for-tat. It's Friday, December 15th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Doug Bernard in Washington. Also ahead, President Trump's legal troubles mount, the benefits of the lowly cockroach, and people giving their fur babies the complete Christmas. It's all on today's VOA Asia. President Donald Trump's former personal attorney, Michael Cohen, was sentenced to 3 years in prison this week in connection with campaign finance violations and lying to Congress. Cohen has emerged as a key witness in the Russia investigation, led by Special Counsel Robert Mueller, into whether there was any collusion between the Trump presidential campaign and Russia in 2016. VOA national correspondent Jim Malone has more on the significance of the Cohen sentencing.
Former Trump attorney Michael Cohen quickly made his way past reporters outside federal court in New York City after being sentenced to 3 years in prison. Inside, Cohen told a federal judge that it was his blind loyalty to Donald Trump that led him to cover up what he called President Trump's dirty deeds. Cohen had previously pleaded guilty to violating campaign finance laws by arranging payments to buy the silence of two women before the 2016 election who had alleged affairs with Donald Trump several years earlier. In previous court documents, prosecutors said Cohen told them he arranged the hush money at Trump's direction, a significant admission, says legal reporter Chad Day.
Now, Trump has denied those affairs, but what these court papers show is that Cohen has told prosecutors, and they believe it was substantial conduct, criminal conduct, that he did at the direction of the president.
Cohen was also sentenced in connection with lying to Congress about Trump's interest in a building project in Russia while he was a presidential candidate. President Trump has denied any collusion between his campaign and Russia and has slammed the probe led by Special Counsel Robert Mueller as a witch hunt. Last month, he blasted Cohen for cooperating with prosecutors.
Michael Cohen is lying and he's trying to get a reduced sentence for things that have nothing to do with me.
In addition to Cohen, former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn will be sentenced next week in connection with the Russia probe. Flynn has admitted lying to investigators about his contacts with the Russian ambassador before Trump's inauguration. The Mueller probe is intensifying and could be headed for a climax early next year, says analyst Rick Simmons.
We were expecting Cohen to provide information, which he obviously did, to Mueller. He's done a lot of work with other witnesses that have flipped, and that he's had months to work with them too. So I would expect that we'd see some sort of conclusion of this within the next few months.
Cohen, who once said he would take a bullet for Trump, will begin serving his jail sentence on March 6th. Jim Malone, VOA News, Washington.
And more bad news for Mr. Trump. New York prosecutors have also announced that they've reached a non-prosecution agreement with American Media Incorporated, publisher of the National Enquirer tabloid, to acknowledge that it paid Karen McDougal $150,000 shortly before the election for her story about claims that she had a months-long affair with Mr. Trump in 2006 and 2007, with the principal purpose of killing the information so it would not damage Trump's chances of winning the election. These are among the top Asia stories you'll find right now on voanews.com. South Korea says a visit by North Korean leader Kim Jong-un to Seoul before the end of the year is unlikely. Bangladesh's telecoms regulator shut down dozens of online news portals for several hours, citing several security reasons. Top U.S. officials are warning that Beijing, more than Russia, poses the most serious long-term threat to the United States. And Pakistani authorities are scrutinizing media coverage of a Pashtun rights movement, blocking VOA websites and filing police cases against journalists covering local rallies. Expanded coverage of these stories and more at voanews.com. VOA Asia continues. China's foreign ministry Thursday confirmed that two Canadians are under investigation on suspicion of harming China's security, a development that followed the arrest in Canada of the chief financial officer of the giant Chinese telecom, Huawei. Foreign Ministry spokesman Liu Kang here said the Canadian citizens Michael Kovrig, a diplomat on leave to work for the International Crisis Group, and Michael Spavor, a businessman who arranged tours to North Korea, are suspected of engaging in activities that endanger the national security of the People's Republic of China. Liu said enforcement action was taken against both on December 10th. He said their legal rights are being protected and Ottawa has been informed. The investigations follow the December 1st arrest of Meng Wanzhou in Vancouver as Canadian authorities acted on an extradition request from the U.S. over alleged sanctions violations. She was released on bail by a Canadian judge this week. President Donald Trump, in a Reuters interview Tuesday, indicated he would be prepared to intervene in the Meng case if it would help resolve a trade dispute with China. Canadian Foreign Minister Chrystia Freeland said the extradition process should not be politicized. University of Toronto political science professor Nelson Wiseman told VOA's Victor Beatty that there is a distinction between the way Canadian authorities are treating Meng and the way the cases of the two Canadians are being handled.
Canada has provided consular access to the detained CFO of Huawei. In fact, today, officials from the Chinese consulate in Vancouver visited her at her very expensive house in the west end of Vancouver. In contrast, Canada hasn't had any access to the Canadian diplomat who's being detained. And now Canada's also warning other Canadians, be cautious about going there. So do we want to get into a situation where the Chinese are now going to, in effect, detain or kidnap an American executive or an American diplomatic official because they don't like what's going on now?
This could potentially jeopardize China's relations with other countries.
And this is something for the Chinese and other countries to speak to, but the Chinese held for a couple of years a Canadian couple. The woman actually was released a little sooner because they were unhappy a couple of years ago that Canada extradited one of their nationals to the United States. This couple was simply running a restaurant in China near the North Korean border and charged ludicrously with, you know, as if they were espionage agents. And this was also a way of signaling to Canada, no, no, don't do the U.S. bidding. And Canada hasn't. But if the American president makes the comments that he's been making, suggesting, you know, this really isn't about the legal system, it's really about negotiating a better trade deal, then perhaps we have to discount future requests from the American government when you've got, you know, people who are alleged to be criminals coming to Canada, and then you find out, well, hold it, is there really a crime here?
Meng Wanzhou, the CFO of Huawei, who was arrested December 1st, has been released on bail. Do you expect that to change China's pressure on Canada?
No, I don't. It might improve the situation of the diplomat who's being held. If they feel they've been punched by one fist, they come back with two or three or four fists. You know, this is the style. So I'm not sure this executive being released on bail is going to improve the situation, because from the Chinese perspective, they still see this as some sort of illegal kidnapping rather than the legal system simply working its way out. Now, the other thing is the Americans are required by the end of January to actually file formal papers to have her extradited to the U.S. Under Canadian law, there's a 30-day process where Canada considers that. And then, of course, she, the executive, is perfectly entitled to have a case heard here about whether Canada should accede to the American request, which I think it would.
the University of Toronto's Nelson Wiseman. Happening now in Asia, Cambodia's parliament passed legislation this week that could allow a 5-year ban on political activity by some top opposition politicians to be lifted. The action was the latest in a low-key charm offensive by Prime Minister Hun Sen to improve relations with Western nations. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're happy you're with us on VOA Asia. Talks between Yemen's two opposing sides outside the Swedish capital of Stockholm ended Thursday with a key agreement to hand control of the key Red Sea port of Hodeidah to the United Nations. Both sides, however, failed to agree on reopening Sana'a Airport or resolving economic disputes, but will tentatively attend a fresh round of talks late next month. Edward Uranian reports for VOA from Cairo.
The audience clapped in approval as the lead negotiators for both the internationally recognized government of President Abdrabu Mansour Hadi and the Houthi delegation unexpectedly shook hands under the watchful eye of UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres. The UN chief lauded the agreement.
You have reached an agreement on Hodeidah port and city, which will see a mutual redeployment of forces from the port and the city and the establishment of a governorate-wide ceasefire.
The UN is expected to administer the port and unblock humanitarian aid to the capital Sana'a and other parts of the country suffering from a humanitarian crisis. Each side also agreed to allow the UN to remove mines and explosives in the region. Secretary General Guterres said both parties will meet again in late January to continue peace talks and attempt to reach agreement on outstanding issues, including reopening the airport and resolving economic disagreements.
You have agreed to engage in the discussions on a negotiating framework in the next meeting. This is a critical element for the future political settlement to end the conflict.
Guterres went on to stress that there was no military solution to the conflict and that negotiations are a complex and lengthy process. He thanked his special envoy, Martin Griffiths, for the many shuttle trips he made between capitals and delegations to reach an agreement. Swedish Foreign Minister Margot Wallström, whose country hosted the lengthy talks, expressed gratitude for the goodwill shown by both sides.
We came here a week ago with low expectations but high ambitions, and we are happy that we can see consultations having taken place in a good spirit, good faith, and a good concrete result in the end.
The top Houthi negotiator, Mohammed Abdel Salam, told journalists at a press conference that his delegation tried to be flexible and had made many concessions. He says that the Houthis agreed to mutual redeployment in Hodeidah, with the UN playing a role in overseeing the port and inspecting ships. He maintains that the Houthis made concessions over Hodeidah for the sake of the Yemeni people. Abdel Salam said, however, that the Hadi government had not agreed to enter discussions for a political settlement and expressed anger over the lack of an accord to reopen Sana'a Airport. The Houthis say international flights should be searched by outside parties in either Egypt or Jordan, while the Hadi government demands they be inspected at Aden Airport, which it controls. Foreign Minister Khalid al-Yamani, who headed the government delegation, said the Houthis had not carried out 71 previous agreements and argued that the present agreement to hand Hodeidah over to the UN was made with the hypothetical understanding that the Houthis would carry it out. Yamani also laid blame for the failure of economic talks on the Houthi side.
He says that both parties were unable to reach an economic agreement because the Houthis, he claims, insist that back salaries be paid to government employees that they hired other than those on the payroll before the conflict began in 2014. Houthi negotiator Mohammed Abdel Salam, however, called this political posturing by the Hadi government. He also criticized the Hadi government's demand that planes be inspected at Aden Airport because some Yemenis from Sana'a have been arrested there in the past. Abdel Salam praised the agreement on the port, calling it a good thing, which reinforces the chances of peace in Yemen. He maintained that everyone hopes to end the war and lift the blockade of the country. Edward Uranian for VOA News, Cairo.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Join me and two advocates from the world of politics, public policy, or academia debating critical and controversial issues of our day, bringing depth, perspective, and insight to the world around us. You can listen to Encounter following VOA News, either on the radio or online at voanews.com/encounter. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to encounter@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Encounter every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
This news alert from VOA Asia. Stocks across Asia were powering ahead for a second straight day Thursday as investors took a no-news-is-good-news view of the U.S.-China trade talks just one day after President Trump said phone exchanges were going well. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for top stories and great features. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. Cockroaches, ugh, they're tough, they're resilient, they're filthy, but believe it or not, they're also big business in China. Entrepreneurs are breeding the critters for use in everything from waste management to medicine. VOA's Kevin Enix reports.
This is not a business for the faint of heart or the soft of stomach, but in China, the ubiquitous cockroach is becoming a big moneymaker. In this facility, American cockroaches are being bred for use in traditional Mandarin health tonics.
The whole breeding facility copies real American cockroaches' living environment. They like to live in a place with lots of gaps. That's why we build these, and we call them the chips. The cockroaches are living in these facilities full of gaps.
The company extracts what they call the essence of the roaches and sells it as a treatment for peptic ulcers and skin wounds. Here, roaches are being bred as a way to get around a recent ban on food waste being used in animal feed. Instead, the food waste is fed to the roaches, and then the insects become the protein component for livestock feed.
Firstly, the cockroaches can dispose of the kitchen waste so quickly. For example, a cell that's filled by kitchen waste can be eaten up in 2 hours. Secondly, they can consume the kitchen waste and transfer themselves into the food cycle, and then produce high-quality protein feed, which are the dead cockroaches. It is the same as turning trash into goods, turning the trash into resources.
Because no one wants roaches in their home, the facility is built like a prison. They even have a moat filled with roach-loving fish in case any of the critters try to escape. And finally, and you knew this was coming, this businessman breeds and sells the protein-rich bugs, touting them as a great part of any meal.
People feel strange that I do this kind of business. They asked why I quit the business I was good at and started doing this. But I think that this has great benefits and will contribute to society, and it has great economic value. And my purpose is to lead other villagers toward prosperity, if they are willing to follow me.
And while they can be eaten by people, his small farm mainly sells the insects to livestock farmers. Kevin Enix, VOA News.
This news alert from VOA Asia. The World Wildlife Fund says 157 new species were discovered in the Greater Mekong region last year. Among those were 3 mammal, 23 fish, 14 amphibian, 26 reptile, and 91 plant species in Cambodia, Laos, Myanmar, Thailand, and Vietnam. All the big stories come your way throughout the day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. In the United States, Christmas cards with family photos are popular. But more than ever, more than many of those photos include a four-legged member of the family, namely the pet dog. For the past several years, a dog bakery in Arlington, Virginia, has hired a professional pet photographer to take dog photos with Santa Claus. VOA's Deborah Block takes us to the photo shoot where the pups are dressed up for the holidays.
The dogs are primped, pampered, and posed like fashion models before their big moment in front of the camera. At Dogma Gourmet Dog Bakery and Boutique, about 100 dogs are getting their pictures taken with Santa by professional pet photographer Jeannie Taylor.
Like the ones where you can see the interaction, where the dog looks like he's having a conversation quietly with Santa. They're part of the family. They should have their Santa photo just as they should be part of family photos.
And some of them are in family photos, like baby's first Christmas. Chris Triano brought his adorable black puppy for her first photo with the jolly old man.
We love Christmas, so we wanted to make some memories with Santa.
Some people bring their dogs every year. Pet parent Brian Rose came with a pair of pups he calls his kids.
You can get the girls dressed up in their little ribbons and see all the other dogs in their costumes.
Some canines wear a Santa hat or are dressed as elves. Alicia Foley wanted the photo of her dog with Santa to reflect both Christmas and Hanukkah.
I put a yarmulke and a scarf on him for Hanukkah because I am Jewish. I celebrate Christmas and Hanukkah, so I wanted him to be able to celebrate both.
A large portion of the $25 cost of each photo is donated to several local dog rescue groups. Zach Klippel is with a pit bull rescue organization.
The money goes to help buy food, buy toys, buy crates and kennels for the dogs.
It can be a challenge to get the dogs to stay still, so the photographer uses innovative ways to get their attention.
We make sounds that are out of the norm of their daily routine. Squeaky toys, we just make weird noises with our mouths.
Jim Greer has played Santa at Dogma Bakery for several years.
Some of them will jump up in your lap, other ones will run away from you. I get one once in a while that'll bark at me. I've been nipped at a couple of times, but I haven't been bitten, and hopefully we can keep it at that.
Penny Edwards and her 3-year-old daughter brought their dog Blue.
We came matching in our matching pajamas, and Blue got a little left out on that, but I think he's okay with it.
The little girl told Santa what she wants for Christmas, and she says Blue told Santa what he wants, too.
A chicken ball.
Amy Kessler looks forward to sending Christmas cards with her cute little white dog's photo to friends and family.
It cheers everyone up, I think, to see a little pup with Santa.
Deborah Block, VOA News. Arlington, Virginia.
And no need to ask who's been naughty or nice. They're all good. Well, that's VOA Asia for today and this week. Thanks so much for being with us. We hope you'll join us again on Monday. We'll be here. And until then, have a great weekend.